Martyrdom of Imam Baqir peace upon him on the eve of Hajj. In the name of God, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Salam, dear friends. We offer you our heartfelt condolences on the anniversary of a tragic day that coincides with commencement of the Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca and on the threshold of Eid al-Adha. The 7th of Dhul-Hajj is indeed a doleful day, as is evident by our commemoration of the martyrdom of an infallible member of the Ahlul Bayt, of the blessed household of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. He directed the minds of Muslims towards the essence of the pilgrimage to the Holy Kaaba, the symbolic house of the unseen but omnipresent creator of the universe, rather than its aimless circumambulation or performing the Hajj for social prestige or merely to be called the Hajj, but without realization of the purpose of the pilgrimage and the rights of the peerless progeny of the Prophet, he said, "The Hajj and the Umrah are two markets for prophets of the hereafter. The person who performs the Hajj and the Umrah very often is Allah's guest. If Allah keeps him alive, he is kept, forgiven, and if Allah takes away his life, he will enter paradise." Dear listeners, stay with us for a special feature in this regard. We are in the state of mourning for the person who gave us the tidings of the benefits of pilgrimage to the symbolic house of God, the Holy Kaaba in Mecca, the first ever edifice built on planet Earth by the father of the human race, Adam. He did not coin these phrases, but was expounding to the faithful the hadith of his illustrious ancestor, the Prophet of Islam, from whom he was descended on both his sides, his mother Fatima being the daughter of the Prophet's elder grandson, Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace upon him, and his father Imam Zainul Abidin, peace upon him, being the son of the Prophet's younger grandson, Imam Hussein, peace upon him, the martyr of Karbala. His identity should be obvious by now. He was none other than the Prophet's namesake, and his fifth infallible heir, Imam Muhammad, peace upon him, whose epithet, Baqir al-Ulum, or a splitter and a spreader of sciences, was prophesied by the Prophet himself. We are commemorating his martyrdom today, since it was the 7th of Dhul-Hajj that he was forced to depart from the world, from his home in Medina, on the eve of the climax to the Hajj, an obligatory act of worship for those who can afford the journey and regarding whose rights, such as the talabiyya, or the pilgrims responding to the call of the Almighty, he had said, "Whoever says labbaik 70 times out of faith and conviction, Allah will assign thousands of angels to bear witness to his immunity from the fire of hell and schism." Among the many hadith on the significance of the Hajj and its rites narrated by Imam Baqir, peace upon him, from the Prophet, is the following. "The supplications of every person, whether pious or impious, who stays in Arafat and at Mashar al-Haram, will definitely be answered by Allah. The supplications of a pious person will be of benefit in both this world and afterlife. One, the supplications of an impious person will be of benefit only in matters of this transient world. Imam Baqir has also informed us, one rak'at of prayer in Masjid al-Haram, the sacred mosque surrounding the Holy Kaaba in Mecca, is better than 100,000 rak'ats of prayer in other mosques. Another narration from him reads, whoever reads the whole Qur'an in Mecca within a week, less or more, and finishes it on Friday, Allah write for him as many rewards as Fridays in this world. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, was not a mere narrator. In fact, he punctually practiced whatever he preached. He set lofty precedents for the faithful regarding the sanctity of the Holy Kaaba and its inviolable precincts. According to a person named Aflah, whom the fifth Imam had bought from an Arab and freed from enslavement, I was accompanying Imam Baqir, peace upon him, during the Hajj pilgrimage. When on entering the Masjid al-Haram and sighting the Holy Kaaba, he started weeping incessantly. I said, my parents be sacrificed for you. People are watching you. Can you not lower your voice to a whisper? The Imam answered, O Aflah, this is the house of Allah. Why should I not weep? I will certainly be of esteem in His sight and attain salvation in the hereafter. Aflah says, the Imam then circumambulated the Holy Kaaba, performed a special prayer for Tawaf in its proper place, and fell into prostration. When he raised his head, his forehead was wet with tears. Born in 57 AH, at the tender age of 4 years, he had to witness the heartrending tragedy of Karbala and the martyrdom of his grandfather, Imam Hussein, peace upon him. In its aftermath, he had to suffer imprisonment along with his parents and the rest of the Prophet's household in Kufa and Damascus. On release from captivity and return to his hometown, Medina, for the next 34 years, he grew up in the shadow of his illustrious father, safeguarding the genuine legacy of Islam, while a string of usurpers rose and fell, fighting each other for power of the state, such as the charlatan Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who during his 10-year rule in Hejaz violated the letter and the spirit of the Noble Quran through mismanagement of the Hejaz and oppression of the Prophet's household, including a failed plot to burn alive all male members of the Hashemite clan. In 95 AH, Imam Baqir, peace upon him, formally assumed the divine trust of Imamat and continued his father's mission by expounding to the seekers of truth various issues such as exegesis of the ayahs of the Noble Quran, the accounts of the prophets of the past, the nature of the material world, and the delicateness of the nafs, or the human soul, and how it should be safeguarded from deviation and pollution. During the 19 years that he was the representative of God upon earth, he spared no efforts to guide Muslims, even advising the regime to mint currency of its own instead of importing coins from the Roman emperor. In his era, five more Umayyad usurpers masqueraded as caliphs, the last of whom was the tyrant Hisham ibn Abdul Malik, whose prejudice against non-Arab Muslims caused him to double the taxes that they had to pay. Hisham, jealous of the Prophet's pure progeny, wrote to his governor of Medina, instructing him to send Imam Baqir and his son Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon them, to Damascus, intending to humiliate them in front of an audience. When they reached Damascus, he kept them waiting for 3 days. On the fourth day, he called them in his presence. He sat on a throne surrounded by his armed guards. In the center of the courtyard, a target was set on which marksmen were shooting arrows. Hisham asked Imam Baqir, peace upon him, to shoot some arrows at the target, thinking that the Imam had no experience in martial arts. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, said he should be excused, but Hisham kept insisting as he planned to ridicule the Imam. He did not know that each infallible heir of the Prophet was inheritor of the virtues of their ancestors, including the martial expertise of the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. Imam Baqir, peace upon him, reluctantly took the bow, and to the astonishment of the Hisham and the marksmen, he shot a few arrows continuously, each piercing the other on the very center spot of the target. Hisham, outwitted, began to discuss the problems of the Imamat and the virtues of the Ahlul Bayt. And when Imam Baqir, peace upon him, recounted these God-given merits on the basis of the Noble Qur'an and the Prophet's Hadith, he clearly saw that the stay of the Imam in Damascus might lead to popular respect for Ahlul Bayt. So he sent Imam Baqir, peace upon him, to Medina, especially after the debate the Prophet's heir had with the chief Christian monk of Syria, who became Muslim along with his followers. The criminal Hisham now plotted the murder of the Prophet's fifth infallible heir by sending him a poison-laced saddle. The poison was applied most skillfully, and when Imam Baqir, peace upon him, mounted, the poison affected his whole body. As a result, the fifth Imam was afflicted, couldn't perform that year's Hajj due to sickness, and finally left for his heavenly abode at the age of 57, but not before making a will to keep alive the legacy of the Ahlul Bayt. Part of the will read that a sum of 800 dirhams be allotted to hold mourning ceremonies at Mina during the climax of the Hajj for 10 years, so that pilgrims coming from all over the Muslim world become familiar with the merits of the Prophet's Ahlul Bayt and their sufferings at the hands of the usurpers of the Caliphate. After a few days in pain, the Imam attained martyrdom on the 7th of Dhul-Hajjah, 114 AH, at the age of 57 years, and was laid to rest in Jannatul Baqi Cemetery, beside his father, Imam Zainul Abidin, and maternal grandfather, Imam Hasan Mujtaba, peace upon them.